Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. And along with me, the rainy streets of Chicago, the sad streets of Chicago, as the beloved Bull have been eliminated from the playoffs. We're going to have a playoffs without our beloved, the Red Leviathan. And to join me on this trip to talk about the season and what lies ahead, I have the great one, Doug Tonis, the Podfather. How you doing, brother?
I mean, I'd say living the dream, but I guess it's a little sad to see the Bulls eliminated. You know, you had that great win against Toronto. Zach LaVine was amazing. And I thought they played a pretty good game against Miami. You know, they didn't come out on top, but you know, they weren't like just annihilated or embarrassed or anything. You know, so I thought they had a chance. And it's always tough to win two in a row in the play-in. It's tough for the teams that are in those 9-10 spots. So not altogether surprising that a team that was kind of like average this year went 1-2 in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to win games, too, with just such a lack of shooting. I mean, in the game on Friday, the Bulls only had two players who were able to hit three-pointers, and that was Coby White had four and Caruso had four. And, you know, outside of that, nobody else was able to hit anything. Maybe Coby didn't have four, but I think those were the only two guys in the game that actually hit three-pointers, which is just complete embarrassment in this day and age and a three-point heavy league. I guess a big question for you, Doug, is what would you, if you had to pinpoint one major issue with the team, what is that issue that caused this year to be such a disappointment?
We're not that good.
Okay. Can you expound on what specifically? Because there are some things we do well, very well.
We just don't have that much talent.
We're better than many teams.
We're an average team. We aren't better than this. We have average talent. We're an average team. You could argue, like, we need this, we need that, but, like, we're a team that's spent its money basically right up to the tax line, and we've got a lot of veteran players. We're just not that good. It was a bad build from the very beginning. There was no reason to expect this team to do well. I predicted 39 wins before the season started, and we won 40. So, I mean, like, there's nothing surprising. We're not that good. We're just not that good. We assembled an average team, and this just goes back to, I'm going to be on the I told you so bandwagon of I told you so 2 years ago when we traded for Vucevic. This is what we were going to be. We were going to be a team that loses in the first round or maybe doesn't even make it in and doesn't have a lot of flexibility or room, and that's where we are. So, I don't know what you want me to say. We're just, at the end is we just don't have enough good players.
Well, I disagree in the fact that let me finish my statement. I mean, we were good enough to beat the Raptors, and we were good enough to take the Miami Heat to. I mean, there's not a ton to me that separates us from the best in the league,
and there's not a ton that separates us.
All right,
we're nowhere near the best in the league.
We have two excellent.
Get out of here. All right, let's start. Nowhere near the best in the league.
Let me just throw this out there.
All right, go ahead.
Zach LaVine this year finished 15th in scoring in the league. So there's only 14 players in the league that average more per game.
It's a stupid metric, but sure, okay.
From the All-Star game on, he averaged 27 per game. There are only seven guys in the league who were able to do that, average more than 27 points. Scoring is not a stupid metric. It's actually probably arguably the most important.
Just looking at raw point total is a stupid metric, but go on.
Is your argument then offensive efficiency? Because if you want to talk about that, he was very good.
I think Zach is a good scorer, but he's a single skill player. I mean, and scoring is the most important skill you can have in the NBA, which is why he's fine as a max player. But he's not a two-way player. He doesn't play the defense particularly well. He's not really a passer. He's not someone who sets up other guys. You know, he's just a scorer. He's like Klay Thompson. He's a, you know, and Klay Thompson is probably much more heralded than Zach, but Zach is your Klay Thompson.
He's a 50-40-90. He approaches those numbers. There's probably, you can count on one hand the amount of guys in the
great score, elite score. Not arguing with you there.
Yeah, so I mean, he gets to the line at a decent rate now, and I thought he improved at that at a high level. He's gotten better every year.
Are you going to say something other than that he's an elite scorer? I agree. He's an elite scorer. Okay, he's great at getting to the line. He's a triple threat. He can shoot threes. He can shoot step backs. He's, you know, whatever. Drives to the basket. He's an elite scorer.
You're not going
to
tell me that the Bulls can't win with Zach LaVine as one of your best players, are you?
I think Zach could be your second best player.
Okay, good. That's what I agree on that one. DeMar DeRozan, okay, Obviously fading a little bit. I think he was injured at the end of the year, did not have as good of a year as last year, but he's still a very good player.
Also super overrated, but yeah, also fading.
And then Vooch, I don't even know what to say about Vooch anymore. The great rim presenter. He does rebound extremely well. Defensive rebounder.
I think Vooch is a solid starting center. Like, if you don't view him as a star, he's a solid starting center. His defense is tough. In some ways, he's tough to build around because his defense is... I think he actually does a nice job in some respects. Like, I think he's a good positional defender and a smart defender. But his lack of athleticism in today's NBA, where you kind of need your center to be able to switch and to be able to protect the rim, like, he can't do either of those things.
That's correct.
So he's missing two really key components of what you would want a defensive center to do. So even though he's a smart positional defender and can help you, and a tremendous defensive rebounder, so he does help you in some ways on the defensive end, you know, his weaknesses are really glaring in the modern NBA.
Alex Caruso is an elite defensive player. He's going to be All-NBA. He's an excellent player, and he's still relatively young. I'm not relatively young. He's right in the middle of his career.
He's in his prime. Yeah, I'm with you.
In his prime. And Patrick Williams and Kobe White. Kobe White, I thought, took a tremendous amount of strides and played very well down the stretch. And in both play-in games, excuse me. And, you know, I think he's really potentially developing into not just a rotation player, but a starter quality player. What say you?
Maybe. I mean, like, so Kobe White was on a tear at the end. I agree with you in that sentiment. And I agree that maybe he's developing into a, you know, situational starting player. But, like, that wasn't the season he had. I mean, he scored 9.7 points a game, and his primary thing he's adding to your team is scoring. So it's not, like, even six-man numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like it's definitely – like, he made improvements – in ways, if you looked at his raw totals, it looks like he's just declining and declining. But I agree, like, he made improvements on the defensive end. He had a stronger year this year. Yeah, but, like, he wasn't, like I said, he'd be like your fifth starter or something, or, you know, or like a bench player. He's a rotation player. I think he's a rotation player in the league.
I mean, I don't care what the stats say. The eye test tells you he was way better on defensive end. He was way better as a passer, way better as a ball handler. He improved in every facet of his game.
Yeah, his ball handling got a lot better, I think. I agree with you there.
And his passing. I agree with you. Everything his decision-making. So,
I agree with everything you said. He improved. He had it doesn't show up in all the numbers, but I think he played a much better – I think this is his best year by a pretty good margin. Just, you know, had a few less minutes and a smaller role, but I think he did better in that role. Like, he didn't try to do too much. I think this was a good year for Kobe. I'm not trying to
dismiss. And then there's Patrick Williams, who came along as a shooter, probably our best three-point shooter. Definitely saw him prove it as a one-on-one defender. I still think his overall defense is highly overrated. He still has a long way to go off the ball and as a rebounder, which is especially the defensive side, part of defense. You got to end the possession. He has a long way to go there, but definitely
improved. Did you see my Patrick Williams tweets today?
I did not, and I'm scared to ask what was contained in them. What did you say?
I said, you know what? Patrick Williams is really underrated by Bulls fans right now.
That's shocking for you to say that.
I've always said he has a decent floor because he's a 3-and-D player.
Most Bulls fans heavily overrate.
People just overrate his ceiling. They keep bringing up Star and Kawhi and all this other stuff. But if you ignore that and you say, like, could he be OG Anunoby? Could he be Mikal Bridges? And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, maybe. Like, and people will just say all these great things about Tyrese Halliburton as an example. Like, Tyrese Halliburton left the Kings and all of a sudden they're like the second best team in the West.
Oh, give me a break, Doug. Give me a break. They got
good players for him. Just hold on. And then he went to the Pacers and it's like, okay, well, where are the Pacers? 35 wins? Like, I'm not saying that Halliburton is a bad player. I like Tyrese Halliburton. I'm not trying to say he's a bad player. But, like, it's not like Tyrese Halliburton was killing it on winning teams. He's piled up a bunch of stats on really bad teams. And I think if Patrick Williams was on a really bad team, I think he would have piled up a lot more stats. I don't think he'd be as good as Tyrese Halliburton. That's not my point. But I think he would have piled up a lot more stats. And then people would be like, oh, okay, yeah, he's better than they think he is now. On a team with three guys who shoot a ton and where he's not going to get a lot of shots, I don't think he's going to pile up as many stats. I don't think that makes him better or worse as a player. just saying, like, if he was on teams that, like, were 30-win teams, like, I think, you know, and didn't have a bunch of guys stealing all the shots, I think he would have had a better statistical look.
No doubt, probably.
And so I think he's solid. I think he's a solid player, that's all. I said, actually, if you just redrafted the lottery, Patrick Williams still might be the fourth best guy in the lottery of his draft.
I doubt it, but...
Not the fourth best guy overall, just the fourth best guy in the lottery. And I say that because... You know, when you start trying to figure out, like, you know, one guy versus the field, it's like a totally different game. But if you compare him to the guys you might have reasonably considered on draft day, I'm gonna write it down to you. Okay, Anthony Edwards still ahead of him, LaMelo Ball still ahead of him, Tyrese Halliburton still ahead of him. You agree with all that, right?
Of course.
James Wiseman, is he still ahead of him?
No, and no. I knew he was gonna be a bust. Go on.
Yeah. Okay. And I like James Wiseman, so shame on me. Isaac Okoro. I would rather have Patrick Williams today than Isaac
Okoro. Well, I understand people don't understand how well Isaac Okoro played this year on the defensive end. He was absolutely fantastic, and he shot...
That's great.
44% I would rather have... from three. 44% from three after 1-1, 36% overall on the year. Yes, he's not as good of a three-point shooter as Patrick Williams, but Doug, everything you've said... About hey,
also lower Patrick volume.
Williams.
Lower
well, let me just finish this volume. Thought. Everything you just said about Patrick Williams, you know, he's fourth on the team on the totem pole. Is that squared for the Cleveland Cavs? They got Garland.
Fair assessment.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he's a very similar situation, except he's a little bit more aggressive and just he's played better overall on the defensive
end. All right. I mean, Isaac Okoro. I would rather have Patrick Williams than Isaac Okoro.
All right, fair enough. I mean, I think it's a crapshoot. I agree. Okay,
And so I said you would maybe take Williams fourth because I think a lot of these guys are crapshoots. Onyeka Okongwu versus Patrick Williams. I'm going to take Patrick Williams over Onyeka Okongwu.
A lot of people like Okongwu. It's probably close, though. I agree. I'd probably take Williams ahead of him. I do. I love his 3 points. Okay,
Killian Hayes.
Williams versus Patrick Williams.
Okay. Now, this one I know you're going to go the other way on, but I'm going to still take Williams. Obi Toppin.
I like Obi a little bit better.
Yeah, I figured you would. And I'll agree, the Dable guy. This one, you're going to definitely take Williams. Denny Average.
Williams by a mile. Yeah, yes, okay. Agreed.
Jalen Smith.
Williams.
Devin Vassell. This is the other
guy. That's a close one. I would probably take really Vassell. I could
consider Vassell as well. So like Williams to me is and I agree with you kind of like on Okoro as being a toss up, though I give Williams the edge. I'd probably give Vassell the edge over Williams, but I would definitely consider what. So of the lottery, I think he may have been like the fourth or fifth best guy, like right now, if I was picking today and I was redrafting today. So anyway,
sure,
that doesn't really matter. But when talking about like whether he's a huge bust or not. Like
I don't think anybody's saying that though.
In a group of like 10 guys, like that were maybe, and the next two are Carey Lewis Jr. and Aaron Nesmith. And I think Williams is better than both those guys. And this group of guys who are maybe similarly tiered, you know, Williams is still probably the guy I would take out of that tier. That's all.
Doug, I don't think anybody's saying he's a bust. I mean, it's clear he's not.
Well, lots of guys are saying he's a bust.
No, I mean...
I have never
said he's a bust. I said he's a rotation player for the next 10 years. That's not saying someone's a bust. That's a massive difference.
All right, well, then never mind. We agree that Patrick Williams
is probably
not going to be a star. He's a rotation player, and I think he's going to be a good starting... I think he's their fourth starter.
I think he's best off the
bench. Patrick Williams is a fourth starter. Well, I think Patrick Williams can be the fourth best player on a good team.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll ignore whether starting or not starting. Because he'll be a fourth best player on a good team that can meld into any team. Like, who doesn't need a guy who can defend probably almost anyone on the court and shoot threes?
I do feel like, though, we got to go back to Halliburton. I mean, Halliburton was one of the best passers in the league.
Ignore Halliburton. Halliburton's phenomenal.
You just kind of ripped on him and said, though, hey, well, look, he left the Kings. Kings added a lot of talent after he left.
All right. We're short on time. Let's not worry about Halliburton.
Okay. Just move on from
that. Ignore that. Throw it away.
All right. I mentioned the three star, the core three. I mentioned Kobe White, Patrick Williams. Who else am I missing here? Oh, Caruso. I'm just saying, half the league's probably better than the Bulls. The other half the league's probably worse. They're right in the middle. That's where they're at with this team right now. And the question is, how do you get better? So it's not terrible, but it's not good, right? So the question is, how do you get better?
You know how you get better with no draft picks and not being able to trade your future draft pick and having two of your most important players on your team on the downswing of their careers and having no cap space and being right up against the tax line? You don't.
No, you trade one of those two fading players. That's where we are. You trade one of those two fading players. And this is where I'm a little disappointed in that. You know, like, if you saw the press conference, and I know you didn't watch it, but I watched it with, you know, very high intent. It was clear that he's like, no deals were available at the trade deadline to make this team better. Well, he's talking about on the near
press conference.
He's talking about on the near. Oh, you did watch it? I thought you said you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, I said I watched it.
All right, so you watched it. So let's move to that right now. So we're both in agreement. Okay. Half the league's probably better than the Bulls. Half the league's probably worse.
I think a little bit more than half is better, but yeah, we're a middle-ish team.
Where we disagree is the delta between the best and where the Bulls are at. I think the league is, there's a lot of parity in the league right now, more so than probably at any time that we've been doing these podcasts. There's probably about seven or eight teams that can win the championship. And that's not been the case for the most part in the last decade or so, correct?
I agree there's a lot of parity, and we are not in the group of teams that have parity and have a chance to win, and we're very far away.
Not yet, and we'll talk about how they could potentially do that. But let's go to the press conference first.
I would love to hear how they
can. All right, so,
'cause I have no idea, and I normally have real strong opinions on such things.
Your initial impressions of Arturas' performance in that press conference, go.
I mean, I think he was just playing defense. I don't really think anything about it. Like, I don't think he likes talking to the press. I mean, he clearly doesn't, because he never does. He talks to them less than most general managers. And I don't think he said anything of substance. I think he said in the press conference like 50 times, we're going to keep all our options open. He said things that directly contradict themselves. Like, we're going to bring everyone back, but we're also going to bring other guys in. Like, I don't know. I didn't take anything about it. Like, he basically said, like, they still believe in Lonzo Ball, but there's no timeline. And, you know, like, he just kind of dodged the question of, like, hey, you know, everyone else reporting this that he's going to be out for a year. Like, he's like, yeah, I can't comment on that. Well, what do you think based on what you know now? Well, I'm going to get more information. Like, whatever. He just didn't say anything. He just didn't say anything whatsoever of substance.
Well, he said a few things. Can I throw them out there for you and get your commentary on it?
Sure, throw them
out. One of the things he said, this team deserved a chance to figure it out. That was one quote I wrote down. And my counter to that is, why? What has exactly this team done to deserve anything? They haven't done anything. I don't know what he's talking about.
What has any team done to deserve anything?
Well,
like, I mean, if you've not won a title and you've not done whatever, I mean, I think all that really means is I deserve a chance to see what I put together and see how it goes.
I think the Memphis really Grizzlies deserve a chance to try to work it out and see how far they can go with this young core. I think a team like that deserves a chance before you start breaking it up and throwing everybody away. They almost beat the Golden State Warriors last year, and now
Memphis Grizzlies, if you were the Memphis Grizzlies and you could have had Kevin Durant right away for like two of your young players and some future picks, would you have done it? Or you said, nah, this team.
No, I would have gone for Durant. I would have probably gone for Durant.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is that all it really means is you don't deserve shit. You just think that the best scenario is most likely that you're best off staying with this young core because it's going to have a long timeline. You have a lot of runway. You have a lot of chances to figure it out. You should only break that up if you're going to get something really meaningful and really good, and because you're going to have a lot of chances to get something meaningful and really good. So it's got to just be the right move. But there's no deserving. Like, if the right offer is on the table, you take it. I mean, like, you take the offer to make your team better. The idea that a group deserves to be together doesn't mean anything. If maybe in the case of the Golden State Warriors, you could say, this group deserves another chance. We've delivered three titles, and even, you know, when Klay got hurt, they deserved a chance to try and come back from that. Like, that's a team you could say maybe deserved a chance. But, like, another team? No, you just do the best thing you can for the team.
My counter is, Boston deserves a chance. I'd even argue the Sixers deserve a chance to see if they can do it. Milwaukee. You can name about 10 teams.
Who would you not trade on the 76ers if you could have got Kevin Durant?
Embiid.
Okay, but clearly if you traded for Kevin Durant, you'd be keeping Embiid.
Yeah, right.
Like, you give up Tyrese Maxey and all your picks point. If you could have got Kevin Durant.
I don't think that's the point, Doug. I think
No, it is my point. It is my point. It's just semantically saying you deserve this or that just doesn't mean jack shit. It's a worthless statement.
Okay.
It means fucking nothing. It means absolutely nothing. All it means is that you probably aren't going to get a better deal than what you have going at this exact moment in time.
No, what I would say is, no, I disagree with that. I think the Bulls could have had a better deal to make the team better in the long run. I think there were likely deals out there for Vooch or DeRozan that would have made the team better in the long run, not in the immediate. That's my point.
That's got nothing to do with deserves. That's because Arturis Karnišovas wants to win now and doesn't want to do anything that sacrifices the short term.
That's clear. Let's move on to the next one. Change our shooting profile. Well, at least he's identified that's a problem, but that was a problem last year. Like,
what was great, if you followed the whole chain of his thoughts around that, is he didn't suggest they're going to bring in more shooters.
He
suggested that, like, they're gonna improve their shooting through, like, you know, guys on the team that were good shooters. I mean, he even said we had a lot of good shooters on this team, which is wrong. But he said we got a lot of good shooters on this team. They just passed up open shots.
Oh, that's right.
Passed up too many open threes.
Williams probably did.
Yeah, well, I'd say that's probably true. But I think he's also talking about, like, Caruso, Io, probably Kobe White. And Kobe's a solid shooter.
Definitely not Kobe White. He has no fear of shooting. But I agree with that statement.
I think Kobe passed up maybe more than, like, I think for Kobe, he could have even taken more than he did. I agree with you, Kobe's not scared to shoot like the other guys are. But he mentioned, like, the idea that guys pass up shots. He didn't actually, when I heard him say that, I thought, oh, great, we're going to now go after shooters. And then I saw the follow-up, and it was like, yeah, we got to change our profile. We need to take more threes. But, like, the implication, what he said afterwards, was, like, we want the guys on the team to shoot more threes, not that we are going to go get better shooters on this team.
Can I just read something? You know, Max Strus beat us essentially by himself almost with Jimmy Butler in the game, the Heat game. Yeah, you'd agree Max would probably help our shooting profile, right?
Sure.
This is a quote from 2021 or 2020. I can't remember which year it was. But Max was on the Bulls roster when he took over. The Bulls no longer presented Max with a safe haven. Gone was the front office that hired him. Chicago ownership named Arturis its lead executive and named Billy Donovan as the head coach. Timing can be everything in a business made in moments. Despite Strus's progress, so he tore his ACLs on the side, everyone. Chicago didn't look to retain Strus when free agency began that August. Quote unquote, they saw me working. They saw that I was getting healthy again. I worked with them every single day. For them not to even give me a chance kind of hurt, end quote. Just another example I want to highlight and point out of the evaluation process that we talk about with this front office so much, again, with a massive miss. What say you?
I say it's a stupid thing to pick on.
It's not a stupid thing to pick on.
A vet min fringe player coming off a torn ACL isn't your priority? Yeah, no shit. Like, I mean, it's great that it worked out for Strus, but it's just like, yeah, of course not. Of course you didn't look at that. Like, an ACL massively impacts lots of guys. Strus hadn't, like, made his place in the league yet. Like, yeah, I just don't think... his quote is, they saw me getting healthier. Like, okay.
Max Strus was a fantastic three-point shooter before Arturis arrived, and he was fantastic after he left. It was a mistake.
He was a fringe player. He was a fringe player who tore an ACL. Yeah, it was a mistake. I'm not saying it wasn't a mistake. I'm saying, like, you look at the context of a fringe player who's coming back from a torn ACL... and you want to go a different direction with a roster spot for a guy who's not coming off a torn ACL and maybe is already established, like, so what?
Point is,
like,
Max...
it didn't work. Like, yeah. Max Strus, like, validated that they should have kept him. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying, like, if you just say, hey, here is a guy who's not proven to be an NBA-caliber player yet, and he's tore his ACL, like, and you said you're going to move on from that guy, regardless in that situation at that moment, I would say, okay. Like, I would never think twice about that. Yeah, they evaluated him while he was recovering from an ACL. I mean, like, what are we even talking about? Okay. I mean, they evaluated him while he's recovering from an ACL. What kind of an evaluation is that? Like, it's just a stupid thing to pick on. Like, yeah, it didn't work out.
You could have got him for next to nothing.
It didn't work out, and they were wrong.
They were wrong,
It didn't
yes.
work out, and they were wrong.
And they evaluated him and said, go. And that's their problem.
Yes, they evaluated a guy who was coming off a torn ACL who couldn't play. at that moment in time.
He was shooting in the gym every day. It's not like he was crippled.
Great. Lonzo Ball is shooting in the gym every day right now. What does that mean?
Lonzo Ball is not
at the point. What does that mean?
Lonzo Ball can't even run. Lonzo can't even run. Max Strus was running in the facility.
Max Strus was not. Max Strus was not.
He was 6 months.
5-on-5 basketball.
No, no, no. But he was in the gym working out, shooting jumpers and running.
All I'm saying is, so you think a guy, you could, let's just say, you're evaluating a guy you know nothing about. We'll just pretend for a moment. And he can't play 5-on-5 basketball. How good is your evaluation?
It's not good if you don't know anything about him, but that's not, that's a ridiculous statement.
So all I'm saying is, this is a fringe guy. Okay, I don't even want to talk about it. I agree that it was a mistake. I'm just saying there's types of mistakes that are forgivable and types that aren't. Cutting a guy who's a fringe guy coming off an ACL injury is the type of mistake I would not think twice about.
Like, fair enough. I'm just pointing out it's another mistake.
A lot of guys take... A lot of guys take a long time to come back, you know, from an ACL. A lot of guys are never the same. So I'm just saying it's a type of mistake. Like, I agree with you. It was Max Strus proved everyone wrong to the extent people were against him or whatever. He was in our building. We could have kept him. Would have been better if we did. Completely agree with all that. I'm just saying if I was going to try to, like, scale that mistake on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 2 to me just because of the context of him having the injury and him only being a fringe player at the time. It's not like they gave up on a guy who was, like, just kicking ass in their gym every day, you know, who had just come off a great season, and they said, like, nah, we don't want you. You know, like, I guess I look at, like, the mistakes they made with Lowry or Wendell, and I feel like those are much bigger mistakes where they have way more information. You know, to me, those are, like, more critical mistakes. Like, this is not a critical mistake to me in the same sense. It had a really bad outcome, though. I agree with you with that. It had a really bad outcome.
Okay. Again, my overall point, it's just another mistake in the evaluation process, period. That's
if
it.
If you just want to say these guys suck, I'm with you.
Okay. I don't want to say that, but I'm saying this is just another one on their resume, which not only was a mistake, but it punched us back right in the face. In fact, it likely cost us a playoff game. It likely cost us the ability to get into the playoffs. Anyhow, enough on that one. He keeps on bringing up our record versus good teams this year was much better than last year. I still think our record over 500 teams was like 21-30. Like, what are you cheering about? Yeah, relative to the disaster it was last year, that's fantastic. But he must have mentioned it like 4 or 5 times in the press conference. And
he was trying to polish a turd in this press conference. Like,
is that true? Do you know what our record is against good teams over 500 teams?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I think it's 21-30.
We have 40 wins and we didn't make the playoffs. Like, I don't care. Like, I really just don't care. And we had unbelievable health. Unbelievable health.
Side of Lonzo, yes.
But Lonzo was out from before the season started. Like, in terms of guys who get injured during the season, we lost like 16 games to starters over the whole season.
That is amazing.
Unbelievable health.
He called Patrick Diamond. It's
probably the best in the league. I didn't run down every team in the league, but I ran down all the teams in the Eastern Conference who were above the Bulls. And I think the second closest team was like 40 games lost out of their starting lineup. So it's unbelievable health. And if you want to start looking at like how we're going to be better next year, the first thing to start with is you're still going to be missing Lonzo the whole year. You know that already. And you're probably going to miss 2 to 3 times as many games out of your starting lineup with this group as you did last year. Minimum.
Yep, I would agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree. You're definitely going to have more bad luck. But, you know, I mean, that said, compared to how we've gone through, we've seen this movie before in terms of bad luck with injuries with starters. I mean, nothing compares to what we endured in the previous decade. So, like, this idea that, you know, suddenly we should be better with the continuity of this team should have gone out the window. But he still seems to be sticking to it, and I don't know why. And which brings to my next point. Do you want to re-sign Vooch and Kobe? The answer is yes. Now, Kobe to me is a no-brainer. And I know you and I are going to differ greatly on what that amount should be. Casey Johnson intimated that 3 years at about $14 million will probably get it done, hopefully, which is much higher than what you thought, almost twice as high. I think that's what some team's going to put on the table for him. I'd still sign it because I think Kobe White is their best opportunity in terms of a point guard. And you just have you turn over the keys to him next year. What say you on Kobe White? Have you warmed to the idea of him being our best option for next season as a point guard?
It's hard for me to see over the mid-level exception. I do agree $14 million would get it done. I would probably match Kobe only because I don't know what you're going to do that's better than that.
Yeah, like what's a realistic option that's going to be better than Kobe White as a point guard for next season?
Yeah, there probably is none.
So you got to bring him back. You just have to.
I think the tough thing with Kobe is, and maybe you know, there wasn't a ringing endorsement of DeMar DeRozan in the press conference. There's nothing negative, but maybe they just plan to move DeMar. Because if you keep Vooch and DeMar and Zach and Kobe and Pat as your starting lineup, like, there's just not enough shots and not enough ball movement with that group.
Yeah. So you think DeMar is the guy that they're probably going to move?
I feel like if they make a major change, it has to be DeMar. Would you disagree?
I still think Zach could be moved. I think if the Knicks...
I can't think of anything worse than that.
What do you mean?
I can't think of anything worse you could do than move Zach and then try and pivot to keep a good team.
Let's say the Knicks, obviously they won game one, but I still expect them to lose to the Cavs and they have another disappointing year for the 25th season or in a row or whatever.
All right.
And there was a lot of talk.
Let's even say they don't.
There was a lot.
Let's say they're even close. They might even be more willing to trade for Zach if they win.
Yes.
Either way, they might be willing to trade for
Zach. That's a team with a lot of draft assets and a lot of good young players. That
all really bad draft assets. But okay.
Yes, agreed. But, well, we don't know yet. They could still get Dallas's.
Well, most of them are heavily lottery protected. Like, they can't be that good of picks because of the protection on them.
Good point.
So, like...
Yeah, but regardless, they have some young players who I like a lot. Obi Toppin and Quickley and Grimes. That are they're good players. And then RJ Barrett. Okay. If you made an offer to that team, I think they would jump on it. And you could collect a number of draft assets and several young good players who I think combined with DeMar DeRozan and Vooch and the young players currently on the Bulls, you could possibly improve. Am I crazy for thinking that?
Yes, you're fucking crazy.
Okay.
So I just want to be clear.
I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying.
Your thought is we might be better if we take this team, which is biggest offensive weakness is the inability to shoot the three, to move the by far best three-point shooter on the team for RJ Barrett. So we can now have a starting lineup where there's not a single good off-the-dribble three-point shooter in it. And only two guys who are even remotely capable of shooting wide-open threes generated by someone else. That's going to make the fit better.
I'm not saying that you're going to do this. You're taking also a big contract off, the biggest contract by far, off your books.
And replacing it with the same amount of money in three players that are all
draft assets that you can also move
that are
for
mid to late
shooter.
First rounders.
We don't have a lot of assets though, Doug. That's my point, is that you're trading.
Agreed. No, so I agree. Let me rephrase it this way. I'm okay if you want to trade Zach. But you don't trade Zach and keep DeMar and Vooch and think you're going to be a better team. You're not going to trade Zach for something that makes this team better than with Zach on it. That's what I'm saying. If you trade Zach, you're trading Zach, then you're blowing up the whole thing. Get rid of DeMar, get rid of Caruso, get rid of Vooch, get as much as you can. Maybe you keep Kobe, maybe you keep Patrick Williams, but you trade all the veteran players then, clear the decks, start the rebuild. Like, if you trade Zach, you're starting to rebuild. You're not trading Zach to retool.
Well, if you trade Zach and you have DeMar and Vooch on the roster, you're not rebuilding.
Then you have a crap roster. Like, the two of the most... I know, but that's why you can't do that. You're going to be way worse trading Zach. You're not going to trade Zach for pieces that fit better than Zach around the rest of the team. Like, he's the only really good shooter in the starting lineup.
That's true. If you add assets, and then you could turn that into actually getting some shooting. I understand. I think we're going in a circle here because I do like Zach. I do think he's the best player in the roster. I thought he was absolutely fantastic.
I'm not
the
saying
stretch.
You have to keep Zach. I'm just saying you have to keep Zach if you want to try to improve next year. You're not going to trade Zach and be better. That's what I'm saying. There's zero, I think there's 0% chance you can trade Zach LaVine and have a better team next year.
Okay. So then I think that would mean it's unlikely, assuming that Arturis agrees with you, which he probably does, it's unlikely they're going to move Zach.
Yeah. You move Zach if you want to blow this up. And I think there's, I mean, I've been saying that for a while now. I would do that. But you don't move Zach because you think you're going to get better fitting pieces to go with your like 35-year-old small forward and whatever. Like, just that's just not a... Maybe we'd do it. We're dumb enough to do stuff like that.
You don't sound like you have a lot of confidence in this front office, Doug. I
think they're the worst front office in the league.
Oh, my God.
I really do.
Worse than Minnesota? Come on.
No, I take that back. They're the second worst front office in the league. I've made the joke before that, like, these two guys, Minnesota and us, both their GMs both got hired based on the Nikola Jokic pick. Both of them went out and just, like, traded for centers, and both of them are idiots. But Tim Connolly is by far the biggest idiot of the group.
Okay. Well, yeah.
He paid way more for maybe a worse center.
They are in the playoffs.
I don't mean to insult you because I know you are a big fan of Rudy Gobert.
In fact, that's one move that I would prefer to see. There's such a thing as offensive geometry with teams, and like you kind of talked about Sabonis and for Halliburton, the reason why the Kings are better is because he's a better fit with Fox, and Halliburton is doesn't mean that Sabonis is a better player than Halliburton. It means the fit with those two players is superior, and I think the Bulls could make a trade for sign and trade for Vooch for Gobert and get better. I think Gobert's talents as a rim protector.
How much luxury tax?
I'm not talking about the tax ramifications. I'm saying as a player, do you believe
if you could just swap Gobert and
Vooch, yes,
I agree they might be better.
Yes, that's my point. Is that the Bulls? The issue with the team is they have zero rim protection and they have 0 3-point shooting. Well, Vooch brings neither of those things at all. He's a horrible rim protector and he's not a good 3-point shooter anymore. He was 3 for his last 21. He didn't hit 1 3-pointer in both playing games. So I don't know what happened to that ability. It's just out the window. And Gobert can't hit the three.
Do we need to go over that?
Do you want to? What do you mean?
Because when we traded for Vooch, what did I say about his 3-point?
I know. We don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to this again because this just irritates me because he was shooting 40% on high volume. And I did not expect.
He's had one good 3-point shooting year in his career. One.
Two.
In like 13 years, he's had one good 3-point shooting
two.
Year. So don't ask what happened to his 3-point shooting.
Two, Doug. You're wrong. Don't say there's one. The year after he shot 40%, he did also shoot.
Did she say the year after?
When did he shoot 38%?
The year after he shot 40%, he shot 31.4%.
Oh, never mind. You're right. I'm thinking of his time with the Bulls. When he first came to the Bulls, he shot pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. He shot half a good season in Orlando and half a good season on the Bulls. If you look up his stat profile, it almost looks like 3 good years because it shows the total Orlando and Chicago, all separate line items, but it's 1 year.
I just tried to pretend that it was 3 years. I love it. All good points. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore about Vooch. Like, I don't think he's...
So, I think Vooch is solid. I mean, like I said, he does a good amount of things well. I think he's solid, and like I was leading the charge of the hating Vooch bandwagon, and I actually think maybe the bandwagon has gone a little too far. He's not a worthless player, but he's a hard player to build around, just like DeMar is, and I think that's a big part of the problem with the team. You know, you've got a center that can't do the center things you need, and you've got a wing that can't shoot threes.
Yeah.
Like, those are two components that are difficult to build around, and you've got two of them as two of your best three players. And that's just a hard scenario.
And your three best players are all subpar defensively. It's just not a great fit. And the fact is they don't play well together. They have more time than any other three players in the NBA on the court this year, and they had a negative net rating. It's like it's freaking insane. And
the problem with that, too, is because of the reasons I just mentioned, they're also both hard to move. You're not getting a lot back because other teams look at it like, yeah, it's hard to fit this guy into my plans.
Yeah, very good. Very well said. Where do the Bulls improve? And here's my cases for that. Kobe White continues to get better, and I thought he got exponentially better at the end of the year. You saw a very high trajectory for a player who played very
exponentially?
Well. Yeah, exponentially. I thought he was twice. I thought he was twice as. Yeah, squared. I thought he was twice.
You mean,
as good.
Exponential means power of 10. Just so you know.
Are you sure? I gotta look that up. It's been a while since. I think you might be off on that. Well, exponential. 8 squared is what?
Order of magnitude.
Yeah, magnitude.
Order of magnitude would be powers of 10. Yeah, yeah. So order of magnitude would be power of 10. Exponential is yeah.
I think I'm right on this one.
Could be.
That's okay.
I don't know. It would be a number times itself if we square.
Let's just go on. He's way better. If he continues his upward trajectory, that's number one. Does that for an entire season. Patrick Williams gets more consistent. Greatness is being consistently good, and he's not even consistently good in subsequent quarters, let alone games. I do feel he has a tremendous amount of potential, and I'm starting to warm to him considerably. Those two things.
He played a lot better at the end of the
year,
don't you think?
Agreed. Yeah. And that's when they were 14-9, and things were moving on. And the other thing he did is he came off the bench in a bench role.
Really helped him to get away from that starting lineup.
Yeah.
Really helped him.
Exactly. So his numbers off the bench were much better. Plus, you're also playing inferior competition. You're playing the opposition's bench, usually. So I thought he did a lot better.
Getting more opportunity to be on the ball and get a rhythm, too. But okay. Sorry, I'm listening to your plan. So Kobe and Patrick are going to get better.
And then Io, they haven't given up on Io. Io had overall probably a down year. Did not shoot the three well at all. He needs to live
definitely
in the gym.
A down year.
Needs to live in the gym on that end. And start becoming a more consistent shooter, or else his career could be in jeopardy. But I still think he has.
Why bring him back at all?
Because he's not going to cost much. Bring him back.
Sure. Okay. But I mean, you could get a different guy who doesn't cost much. You could get the next Max Strus.
I'm not that low on Kobe. Come on. I mean, on Io. Come on.
Io.
Give me a break. He's not that bad. You act like he doesn't belong in a rotation. He had some good moments.
He doesn't belong in the rotation.
Oh, come on. Come on, he's not that bad.
He doesn't block. He's not a rotation player.
He's a good defensive player.
He's going to sign somewhere for the Vetmin, like, I mean, with us or someone else. He's like a fringe rotation player right now.
I suspect there's a team out there that saw how good he was in his rookie year and said that, you know what, we can fix this. And maybe they see something with his jump shot. The reason he wasn't as good this year is because he shot the three so poorly. He was terrible at it, just terrible this season. So.
But I mean, he came into the league projected as a poor shooter. You know, his rookie season was actually
not really, Doug. He got better. He got better every year. I watched every one of his college games. He shot 38% from three as a senior. He got better every year. And I thought last year, for the vast majority of the year, what are you talking about? He was over 40% for most of the year. He shot the three very well yet last year. This year, he shot it much worse.
I just said that. What are you talking about?
Well, you're saying like he didn't project to be a good shooter. He didn't have a good shooter's profile.
He doesn't have a good shooter's profile.
I expect him to do better. I expect him to improve. I expect him to get much better than what he did this year. This was not a good season for him.
I mean, I think he could be better. I don't think he's like a god-awful shooter. He's like a league average. Like, he doesn't have a natural shot. He doesn't have, you know, great form. Like, he doesn't have the basis of someone who looks like he's going to become a good shooter. He's not taking advanced shots. He didn't shoot threes in volume in college. You know, like,
my son's coming out of this practice, so I got to run here. But we got to wrap this up. I got to ring the bus in. Your final prediction about next year, what do you think is going to happen? Give me a 30-second summary.
We're going to run it back, and we're going to win 37 games.
God, if this ends up being true, it will be very ugly in Chicago next season. Very ugly. I think that would be a complete and utter disaster to win 37 games with this same team. DeRozan going to become an unrestricted free agent, and if they keep him, I mean, what in the world? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, we will have to continue this. I want to hear the rest of the Fred plan next week.
Sounds good. All right. Until next time, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Take it easy, DT.